Let's begin by reading together our text found in Matthew 7, and then we'll pray together. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits, you will recognize them. Let's pray. Lord, the words of Jesus are sweet to us because we believe that Jesus Christ has come from your very side to tell us of the love of God, to share with us the ministry of God for redemption, and to train us in the goodness of God. Lord, we hear Jesus Christ, and we want to follow him. Forgive us at times when we have not. And especially, Lord, help us to be aware of false teachers and how we ourselves might have sometimes been false, unauthentic, not genuine, and have led others astray. Forgive us of those times, Lord, and help us to turn our eyes fully toward Jesus Christ, to receive from him the blessing and the gift of eternal life that he wants us to have. With our eyes upon Jesus Christ, Lord, help us to watch out for those who would take us away from him. Help us to understand your word this morning. Speak to our hearts. Illuminate our minds. Make our souls ready for your kingdom. Through his name we pray. Amen. Well, the Sermon on the Mount has been a blessing to me. How about to you? Have you found that as you read the Sermon on the Mount, that you seem touched by Jesus Christ, by this love of God that comes through him? Do you find him communicating to you something of the richness of God's love and what it means to be a person in this world that can participate in the kingdom of God? Do you find that in the ministry of Jesus Christ, a redemption of human souls of which you are one, and that Jesus Christ has come to you, welcoming you not only in his kingdom to receive, but to be trained in this goodness of God, putting within you, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, the Christian character that grows into the image of Jesus Christ, that it might be a blessing to your community, to your family, and to your eternity? Do you find that's true? How would you like to give it up? How would you like to lose all that? Well, I don't think you'd want to give it up if it means that much to you, would you? Well, you see, we're coming to that passage today where Jesus says there's some people that might take it away from you. And so watch out for false prophets, false teachers. That is, people who are claiming to speak for God, claiming to say this is what God says, this is what God wants, this is the will of God. And so you go along with that. You believe it because it sounds good. It appears to be good. The only thing is, in the end, you find out there's something very deceptive about it. That's what we want to look at today. And it is a very strong warning. As I said earlier, parents protect their children, don't they? That's a negative side of life. We wish that there weren't so many people that we had to protect our children from. But that's just not the case, is it? Parents have to go a long way toward protecting their children from those that would prey upon them. When we're talking about false prophets, we're not talking about just simple disagreements that we have or different theologies of faith. We're talking about people that totally take us away from Jesus Christ. It's like our eyes are focused upon him and all that we received has been moved to someone who has been false. And the next thing we know, the Jesus that we want to know, the Jesus who has invited us into his kingdom, has been lost to us. And we know that's true in our hearts and our souls. This false teacher presents himself, I would suggest to you, as a spiritual guru, a spiritual expert. You've seen people like that, right? Could be a preacher, could be a teacher, could be someone among yourselves, someone that claims to know, but someone that claims to speak from God. Now, let me just ask you, If these teachers were to present themselves to you and say to you, well, I'm really just after your money, would you be taken in? If they said to you, I'm really just a fake, but you will never know that until it's too late, would you be taken in? If someone said to you, when I'm through with you, you will do whatever I ask, and you will think the way I want you to think, would you be taken in? I don't think so. But you see, false teachers do not operate that way. Jesus uses two illustrations that he wants us to grasp here, and we need to put these deeply into our hearts and our minds. They come to you looking like disciples, talking like disciples, appearing to be one of the group. Sheep. The only thing is, it's like the Aesop fable. Maybe you know Aesop fables, where the wolf finds a new method to feast on the lambs. He finds a discarded lamb's skin, and he puts it on, and he finds that he can go among the flock. And then eventually he leads them off one by one until the wolf gets fatter and fatter because he pretends to be one of the sheep. Jesus is using that same illustration, saying these false teachers come to you appearing to be among the flock like sheep, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now, would any of you try to pet a wolf, a dangerous, ferocious animal? I don't think so. Well, the second illustration that Jesus uses here are trees. Now, I don't know much about trees, but I know that if you're planting and you want fruit trees, you expect the result to have good fruit bearing. I don't know if it's apples, oranges, whatever Jesus was talking, maybe figs or grapes, whatever. You're wanting some good fruit, right? And if the tree comes up and if it's bad, if the fruit is sour or if the fruit is dry or the fruit isn't producing the kind of quality, hey, how many of you love bad fruit? I mean, you just want to chow down on it. I don't think so. You see, Jesus is telling us that the false teacher looks like a tree that looks to be good, but when you eat into it, when you get into it, it's false. It's not what you need. What we're trying to say here is that you need to be careful because you might be snookered out of eternal life and you might be snookered into a ruinous situation. And the most thing that I could tell you right now is that I want you to think about is that you might be taking your eyes off of Jesus Christ. And that might disturb not just you, but your families and the eternities. Well, I've been snookered many times in life. And you know, I think, Ray, that's the reason why so many times we get smarter as we get older, isn't that right? Because we've been snookered. We've been experts at being taken a few times. And that's why older people are smarter than younger people. They've been through this. They've seen it. Well, I'm going to tell you about one time, several times I've been snookered. Probably some of you have been snookered in this same way. You know the easy way to lose weight? Just take these pills. The pharmaceutical industry just sells all herbal industry, and I may be confusing pharmaceuticals and herbalists. Excuse me here, Ray, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these advertisements that say, you know, eat all you want, just take this pill and lose weight while you sleep. I've tried those. It doesn't work. How about those pills that say, you know, this contains this rapid, this ephedra, this will give you this energy and will cause you to lose weight. Tried those. Didn't work. What about those pills? You know, I could go on and name them. I've tried many of those. Travis, they don't work, do they? Now, what you're doing works, and I like that. And some of the other people here that are exercising and going to various programs, when I see the results, hey, did you notice that word that I use? When you see the results, isn't that another word for fruit? See, the question that Jesus is asking is, look at how it works out. Man, when I see Travis back there, I know he's got a weight loss form. It didn't depend on pills. I've been snookered. I've been taken by sweet-sounding words and salesmen. Now, that's not the worst of the things in life we're going to be taken. I'm talking about your spiritual life. I want you to think about people that snookered people spiritually. Think about Jim Jones in 1978, and that's a ways back, but Jim Jones took a bunch of people in what appeared to be just a normal Disciples of Christ church, took them to South America. People loved Jim Jones. 913 people died at the Jonestown Massacre because Jim Jones said, "You drink this Kool-Aid." But before that ever happened, Jim Jones was a prophet, and when Jim Jones spoke, people did what Jim Jones said. Now, I don't think people joined because they expected that was going to be the result. But you see, Jesus is saying, by their results, by their fruit, you're going to know that these people are false teachers. How about David Koresh? David Koresh, more recent name, had this compound in Waco. He claimed to be the final prophet from God. Well, Jesus said there's many false prophets. Yes. And David Koresh claimed to be the final prophet. Did you know that David Koresh annulled every marriage that joined him? How did that ever happen? He married himself and slept with any woman that came into that, no matter if she was married to another man. He had children for all kinds of women in there. How was that allowed? I don't think people joined believing that. But you see, they got snookered into believing something. Believing that he was the final prophet. And whatever the prophet said had to be from God. You couldn't argue with it. Do you believe that? Oh, you need to be careful when you say, God said this and I'm speaking on behalf of God. Or how about Jehovah's Witnesses? That's a little more common around here. Some of them look very fine. They claim to speak for Jehovah. It kind of gets gets a little closer to home because we see these people all the time trying to tell us about errors in the gospel. And then we've got Mormon polygamists that we see on the news today. Now, I don't know. Are you impressed with these Mormon polygamists and their way of life? Man, it looks like a man's world, doesn't it? I mean, it is, but it appears in that compound, it appears to us to be very extreme. But those people in that compound believe that Warren Jeffs and the people that are higher ups are speaking on behalf of God. And so for them, it's very natural to do whatever they are told. And yet we find child abuse going on. We find children as young as 11, 12, 13 being forced into marriages. That's on the news today. How did that happen? These people don't know any way of life. I'm suggesting to you that through many of these type of false teachers, we have lives that are ruined. We have people that become spiritually bankrupt. The thing that I want to emphasize to you is that your eyes are taken off of Jesus Christ and placed upon someone else. And so when Jesus says, watch out for false prophets, he's telling you out of love to keep your eyes on him, that he is the reality of God's love and the ministry of God. And take what others are saying, although they claim to be speaking from God and they look like they're in the ministry of God, take it and evaluate it and don't park your brains at the door and don't accept what they say unless you can prove it. And we'll go to some scriptures here in just a moment. I think sometimes when you go through something like that, don't you have a, you know, maybe you've been through something like that. Maybe you've been one of these type of programs where people told you about how to deal with your life and what you had to do. And you took all that in. You believed it. You got snookered spiritually. Isn't it harder to trust somebody? Especially church leaders, preachers, elders. It's harder to trust, isn't it? And maybe you don't want to trust. You don't want to give anybody that relationship again. Or maybe if you're a church leader, you've been through that. You want to hold on to all the power yourself that you can. Because then you don't have to give it up and trust someone else. Maybe we think that as a Christians, if we could sort of run out and join just a compound ourselves, have our own type of group, then false teachers couldn't come in. I want you to listen to what Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 29 through 30. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Did you notice that? Sometimes we think, oh, these are the exotic cultists way out there. Or these are this happening somewhere else? Paul says it's from your own number. He's talking here to church leaders. And it's telling us that the seeds of falseness are in every one of us, because in every one of us there is a sense of pride. There's a sense that we could do it better. Or maybe we want to take advantage of people. So I think if we follow Jesus Christ, we need to be careful always that we keep our eyes on Him, following the Spirit, and allowing the Spirit to cut off those works of the flesh and the bad attitudes within us that do happen. So, who are these false teachers that Jesus is talking about? I want to suggest some of them, and tonight you'll be discussing that more in detail, and I hope that you'll have some very good discussions tonight. I think these false teachers are all people who would draw us away from our trust that is centered in Jesus Christ. The truth is centered in Jesus Christ. And I believe if a person goes away from that, they will find truths within themselves or others that they claim to be true that cannot be trusted at all. Truth is always centered in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Do you believe that? If He came from God, He expresses the will of God and the purpose of God. I'm going to suggest several things to you, and like I said, you'll discuss that more tonight. But I think, number one, Jesus is talking about people that claim to be very gifted in religion. The most obvious example is the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were the greatest Bible students the world has ever known. Just because a person can quote the Bible and can pray doesn't mean they can always be trusted. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 15, 13 through 14. "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them." And I like the other translations. "Let them alone. Leave them be. They are blind guides. And if the blind leads the blind, they will all fall into a pit." You hear that? If you read Matthew 23, he's always talking about the Pharisees with this word, "Woe to them." Because they're putting grievous burdens upon men. They have created an elaborate system of worship. And it looks good. It seems to be good. But it is burdensome and grievous. And if you're part of a grievous system and burdensome, it may be you're under a pharisaical system. What we know, not only in the Sermon on the Mount, throughout the Gospels, is that Jesus came to give us the grace of God, the mercy of God, that said that you are loved, you are forgiven. Come and follow me, and I will make you something. Now, He won't make you a Pharisee, and He won't make you better at religion. And if you have to practice and pray like the Pharisees, you won't be good enough. But you'll be better because you will follow the truth that is centered in Jesus. I could go in a long study on this. I don't want to. But I think many of those Pharisees eventually became part of the church. And I think we see some of the problem in Acts. Because many of those Pharisees could not let the gospel go into the world as God intended it to be. And so God had to take the church kicking and screaming, saying, "I want all people of all races to come in." And the Pharisees said, "Only Jewish people and only those who follow the law could be saved." Number two, I'm going to suggest that some of the New Testament false teachers, and we read about this a lot throughout the New Testament, that Jesus is saying, watch out, are for the New Age people of the day. We call them Gnostics. Gnostics sounds like an ancient term. It means people that are in the know. But the Gnostics emphasize a philosophy. And I want you to read with me Colossians 2, verse 8 through 9. Colossians 2, 8 through 9. Okay. "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form." What Paul is saying here is that there's people that start with a philosophical system, and if you start with philosophy rather than starting on what God has done through Jesus Christ, you reach a different conclusion. If you believe that this world is evil, if you believe that it is unimportant whether Jesus ever had a physical body, that He ever rose from the dead, it's only important the spirit that is within, the spirit of Jesus. You're in a new age type of society long before new age was popular in today's world. And so if you believe that, Paul says it's a fine sounding philosophy. It sounds good and it appeals to the education of men. The only thing is, it is not the truth that is revealed in Jesus Christ. Don't be deceived by fine sounding arguments. Well, let's look at another one. Spiritualist. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. The Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. I call these spiritualists because they eventually said, we're speaking on behalf of God. Although Paul says the spirits that they are hearing are not the Holy Spirit, they are spirits and demons. And what is happening with an argumentation that we would reject unless we believe that these people have somehow connected with God is that it is better not to marry in this life. You can be more spiritual if you are abstaining from marriage. And there are certain foods that give you energy, certain foods that are spiritual, and certain foods that are unclean. That might sound good, and I think there are certain people that simply say, you know, there are certain foods that you ought not eat. I mean, that happens in many religions. But if you're tying in with religion so strictly that food is the basis of spirituality, and your relationships, whether you're married or not, can be denied, I want to tell you something, they'll be after something else. If you allow your brain to be controlled by these type of people, you're going to miss out on what God has created. Because in that verse, verse 3 here, it says God created these things to be received with thanksgiving. I mean, look in the pages of Genesis. Marriage is good. It's not to be rejected. Foods that God has created for us to enjoy are to be received with thanksgiving. So why would you want to submit yourself to that? False. The antinomian spirit, very much a part of the New Testament. It believes in grace without limits. Grace without discipleship. And that's a grace without obedience. Do you know there is no discipleship in Jesus without obedience? A very key word. And the ministry of Jesus that redeems us is teaching us to obey, to follow Him. In Revelation 20, verse 20, talks about a prophetess, Jezebel. Now this prophetess, like many, could have taught, but here it says that she taught God's people, misleads them through her teaching into sexual immorality and eating food sacrificed to idols. Now, I'm not going to go into detail on that. It's simply saying, you know that sexual immorality is wrong. And yet, how many cults teach eventually that sexuality in some way is the way they say it is? And when they claim to speak for God, how can you argue with them? And this idea of eating food sacrificed to idol leads you into idolatry. And the last thing that I want to mention, personality cults. Have you noticed how so many of these cults are led and false teachers that have personalities? Beaming personalities. And I kind of joke with people. I kind of say, you know, us quiet people need to stick together. Maybe I'm not so quiet all the time, but you know, I think there are people that are so gifted at personality and so charming, they could sell you anything, couldn't they? And you need to be careful, because just because someone says it so doesn't mean you need to believe it, whether it's the preacher, the elder, or someone else, right? Listen to what John says. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Just because a person says, God said this, or I'm speaking on behalf of God, does that mean that you should agree with that? Test. Is it in line with the gospel? Is it in accordance with what the church has taught? Is it promoting Jesus Christ? Or is it someone that's saying, I've got a little pride here. I'm just a little bit better. I've got more gifts here and I'm going to use them, and you need to believe what I'm saying. You see, Jesus Christ wants to save us from all of that. And I think in your discussion tonight, this could be a very fruitful thing. I think probably many times in life, we've been captivated by things, and too late we've realized that we've paid out some money, we've done some things that we shouldn't have done, and we've been hurt by it. And we want to learn from that experience. And Jesus is saying, learn, watch out. Keep your eyes on him. Remember that story when Jesus told Peter to get out and walk on the water? As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, what happened? He was safe. He walked. But when he started looking at the storm and taking his eyes off of Jesus, he started sinking. I think the same is true as long as we realize that the truth is in Jesus Christ and in him alone. As long as we recognize that someone that speaks from God, whether they're claiming to be a prophet, a preacher, a pastor, an elder, or whatever, if they're speaking from God, let it be tested by the gospel and by the truth of the gospel. Don't give anyone the ability to park your brain and to simply say, because I have superior skills, you should listen to me. Jesus says, watch out. The results, the fruit, will eventually come out. And some people will be hurt by this. Now, in closing, I want to just say this. If your eyes are on Jesus Christ, you want to keep them there. Because he is the real deal. Maybe there's some people here that haven't turned your eyes to Jesus. And I'm hoping today, when we extend the invitation, you'll want to focus your eyes on him. Because he's here for you. He's here that you might receive the love of God, the ministry of redemption that's found in Jesus Christ, that you might receive the training in the Sermon on the Mount and through the Bible and through the church that Jesus Christ wants you to receive. The truth is in Jesus if you'll look to him and receive his blessing. Would you do that? Can we help you as we stand and sing the invitation hymn?